We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories. Special Edition is a production of Intercom Communications.
Welcome to Special Edition. I'm Paula Dagnan. Once again, another week dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. The story remains fluid. Things continue to change every day, including the number of people who are testing positive for coronavirus. That includes a young woman from Scranton, whom you'll meet in just a few moments. Also coming up this week on Special Edition, we'll hear from Pat Ward, United Way of Greater Hazleton, and how he, along with the other United Way agencies throughout our area, are working to help those affected by the pandemic. We'll also hear today from the Pennsylvania Insurance Commissioner and Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro. He's going to talk about something that has become a very popular topic, price gouging. But first, we're going to meet Sandy. She spoke with Frank Andrews and Mark Davis. She's going to tell us about her diagnosis of COVID-19.
A young lady from Scranton by the name of Sandy. And Sandy, we are so grateful that you called us, and our first word to you is that we are concerned for you, we are praying for you, and I hope everything works out for you.
Thank you, Frank. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Can you tell us how this all started, you know, when you started feeling something, where, how it all developed?
Sure. Friday, I had a very slight cough. Nothing remarkable. Saturday morning, I woke up, I had a temperature of like 99.2. It was low-grade fever, but within like an hour or two, it had jumped up to 102. So right away, I got concerned. I called the CMC hotline. They told me at that time I did not meet the criteria to be tested, and if I should develop trouble breathing, to call back, and they would see if they could get me in.
And so then what happened?
So Saturday, I was sick all day with a fever. Sunday morning, I woke up still sick, and my breathing wasn't really, it was a little bit shallower than it usually is and a little bit quicker. So I heard that the urgent care up on Route 6 up in Dixon City was testing, so I called. They told me to come up. They checked me in over the phone while I was out in the parking lot. Then they had me drive around behind the building, and they actually came out to my car and tested me right from my car.
Now, how did they test you? Is it a nose swab?
It was a nasal swab, yeah.
And they confirmed the coronavirus?
Yes, actually, I got a call from the doctor today, and he said that I did test positive. And he had told me that they had been testing for 2 weeks, and I was actually the first one to test positive up there.
Do you have any idea where you might have contracted this? I mean, were you in New York? Were you in Philadelphia? Do you have any idea at all?
I never left Scranton, so I have no idea.
And what kind of work do you do?
I run a retail business, basically. It's kind of a retail, I don't know, but I'm the only one that works in the office, but I do have interaction with customers.
That's what I was wondering. Interaction with customers, things you could have touched, that they touched, somebody brought it in. Because one of the vicious things about this is you can be carrying it and passing it on to other people, and you might not even know it.
Right.
Sandy,
exactly.
Were you scared, or are you scared?
No, I'm not, to be honest. I'm feeling a lot better. I did have a fever for 4 days. I haven't had any breathing issues, and I seem to be on the mend, that's for sure. I did get a call from the Department of Health today, and I was actually surprised because they told me my quarantine will be over on Friday. And I said, well, I just got, you know, diagnosed today or whatever. And she said, 7 days from the start of your symptoms is all I need to quarantine. I was kind of surprised by that.
Did they put you on any special medication or over-the-counter medications or anything?
I am on, they had initially on Sunday, they had given me an inhaler and an antibiotic. They gave me amoxicillin, but the doctor changed that today to a Z-Pack.
Okay,
that's one of the things that we talked about, Z-Pack. Now, are you alone in the house, or are there other people in the house?
I am alone in the house, yeah.
Okay. I'm just wondering what instructions the Department of Health would give you. It seems to me like they would tell you to quarantine, you know, from now until Easter. That's a little strange to me. Are they asking you about people you might have come in contact with or anything?
They did, and one of them was actually my daughter who was here, and she is exhibiting symptoms today. And they recommended that she quarantine herself for 14 days as of the last day of her contact with me because she works in healthcare. So for healthcare, they're recommending 14-day quarantine, everyone else 7.
And she lives in a different location?
She does, yeah.
Okay.
This is amazing. Now, you say you're feeling better today?
I am.
That's great.
I mean, do they tell you to take Tylenol for fever or ibuprofen?
Yeah, they said Tylenol and definitely stay away from ibuprofen.
Yeah, we've heard that too.
Yeah.
Well, and I asked you before, would you be okay if we checked with you every other day or every once in a while just to track your progress?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you have any underlying conditions, any immune problems, anything at all?
No, nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Nothing. Perfectly healthy.
Now, what are you doing for supplies or food or anything? You have somebody that can drop it off on your porch so you don't have to go out of the house and stuff like that? Are you okay to have what you need?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I have a lot of friends and family that have been reaching out, and I'm fortunate. I don't want for anything. So.
Good.
Sandy, someone wanted to know what kind of inhaler it was.
It's an albuterol inhaler.
Albuterol, right.
Yeah, we've heard that, too, because that's an asthma medication. Yeah.
And Tom DePietro said that's one of the things that's in short supply, so you're glad that you got that.
Yeah.
So you actually drove to the walk-in center, but they told you come around the back of the building, and they came out to you so that you wouldn't go in and be with other patients.
That's correct.
That's amazing. One last question. I know it's not polite to ask, but how old are you?
I am 52.
52.
So in the lower part of that range.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not elderly and not any pre-existing conditions or anything else. So you're in one of the areas. It's not just somebody that's old that gets this. It can be someone younger.
Right.
Okay.
That's why it's so important to stay home.
Sandy, for you and your daughter, we're praying, and we're going to be checking in with you. And one of the things that I wanted to happen, people to realize that this is not a death knell, that you can get it, that there is testing going on. I hope you've calmed a lot of nerves.
And thank you for sharing your story.
So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Sandy for joining Mark and Frank and telling her story about how she is dealing with the diagnosis of COVID-19. That's why this week, Governor Tom Wolf's administration ordered more residents in more counties to stay home with few exceptions. The new ones added included Lehigh and Northampton. They also included Philadelphia, Allegheny County, Philadelphia's 4 heavily populated suburban counties, Monroe County, and by now, there could even be some more added to that list. That's why the United Ways throughout northeastern Pennsylvania are getting together in order to give help to those who may need it. The Greater Hazleton United Way's Pat Ward joins Intercom's Frank Andrews and Mark Davis with what they're doing to help.
Pat Ward, the CEO and president of the Greater Hazleton United Way. And truth be told, we've known each other for more years than either one of us will admit, but it's about 40 years. Pat, good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
40 years, and you're being very kind. Thank you.
Well, I got to tell you, when I talked to Gary Drapig in Lackawanna County and Bill Jones in Wyoming County, they said, we have to follow Pat. What a tough act to follow.
Well, actually, I know what both of those gentlemen who are very good friends of mine. I know they're listening right now and taking notes.
Pat,
do well tomorrow.
You told me on the phone last night that the three of you have been working together and talking all the time. What can you tell us about what the United Way is doing and might be able to do as this crisis continues?
Well, you're right, Mark. We are talking all the time, but in fact, we're talking all the time even when we're not in a crisis. So the United Ways in northeastern Pennsylvania are coordinating efforts, and there are several other United Ways other than Wilkes-Barre and Scranton that are also involved. Wyoming County United Way, Schuylkill United Way, the United Way in Berwick is now part of Bill's United Way in Wyoming Valley. But statewide, we're all working through United Way of Pennsylvania, looking at just making sure that we're ready through our agencies to serve folks that are in any kind of need.
And
if I can do... If I can do a plug, the best advice that I can convey to your listeners today, guys, is to, if you have a question on any aspect of health and human services, to simply pick up the phone and dial 211. 211 is the United Way's hotline for health and human service referral. In northeastern Pennsylvania, it's operated by our friends at the Family Service Association of Wyoming Valley. It has a very sophisticated database that they're also updating with COVID information. So info on food banks, emergency housing, utility assistance, although it seems most of the utilities are offering grace periods now, and sometimes other things that we might not think about, drug and alcohol involvement, domestic violence, things that sometimes happen in troubling times when people's incomes are questioned, and crisis intervention. Helpline 211, that's the one-stop shopping in northeastern PA right now.
Pat, it's Frank. I have a question. I had a question that was posed to me by a woman, and I really didn't know how to answer it, and maybe you have some advice. She said, I am a single mother with two kids. Frank, what would I do if I got this? I'm a single mom. I would have the kids in the house. I wouldn't know what to do, where to go. I wouldn't know how to get help. Would Helpline be the kind of a thing where they could give her some advice?
211 would be the first place to call. Because it would depend on what municipality she's calling from, Frank, and what the individual circumstance is. The child might have to be put into foster care temporarily, as an example. So there are people that are more familiar with specifics on these kinds of things than I am. And quite honestly, this is why the United Ways in Pennsylvania, and I'm going back 15 years, wanted to create the statewide network of referral to help people. And we always said that this will be the ideal tool in an emergency. But I think we were thinking more along the lines of, I hate to say, traditional emergencies like floods and tornadoes, and not something to the extent that we've never seen before.
Are you noticing a call volume increase as far as 211 is concerned, or 221?
Absolutely. It's 211.
Yeah.
And memorize that now, Mark. 211. And we'll send you some information on it. I'm told the call volume has doubled, not only in northeastern Pennsylvania, but in other parts of the state, it's doubled as well. Don't forget, you're going to have 211 call centers in places like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, where because of the population density, there's going to be just so many more calls than we might be getting here in the Northeast.
All right, Pat. And what else? Obviously, you guys are talking every day. You've been on a number of conference calls. Are they making any other plans for other things that may be rolled out in the next week or so or 2 weeks as this continues?
We are in touch with a number of major organizations, municipalities in northeastern Pennsylvania. And our good friends and partners at the Luzerne Foundation, along with the United Way of Wyoming Valley, the United Way of Greater Hazleton, we've all come together and we are creating what is called the Luzerne County COVID-19 Emergency Response Fund. And the fund obviously is being put together to try and lessen some of the damage and effects that this virus is going to have on our residents, especially the most vulnerable residents. And all the details of the fund are going to be posted on the Luzerne Foundation's website, which is luzfdn.org. It's also going to be linked to the United Way of Greater Hazleton, and Greater Hazleton Chamber of Commerce has a website, as does the Wilkes-Barre Chamber. We're all working together. It's basically all the players in the not-for-profit world and players in the business community, including state government like CareerLink, the McGowan Charitable Foundation in Hazleton, CanDo, which is the Industrial Development Organization. As I said, Wyoming Valley and United Way of Greater Hazleton. CareerLink, because we can talk about that in a second. Obviously, Family Service Association. Our good friend Dave Pedry at Luzerne County is involved with this effort. The legislative delegation, cities of Hazleton, Wilkes-Barre, and I can go on and go on. So you see, it's a pretty substantial effort. And this is designed to raise money, and then the organizations that are involved, and we're still working on the exact details and the mechanics, if you will, we will have a fund, and hopefully we could raise upwards to $500,000 to distribute that money to charitable organizations and not-for-profits to help people in need, and the not-for-profits that are in need, quite honestly, as well.
It's amazing that all these people got together, all these organizations and individuals from all different parts of the community were able to get together and mobilize this in a fairly short amount of time.
Yes, and I'd like to thank Charles Barber at the Luzerne Foundation for his leadership. I mean, we all work together. There are great charitable foundations in Luzerne County and all of northeastern Pennsylvania. We work together on projects on a daily basis. And we did get together on this project very quickly and put it together in a matter of days.
Wow.
And quite honestly, the way sometimes we all work in a normal cycle, this might have taken 2 years to put together.
I was going to say, this is a monumental project to be accomplished in just a few days to get the logistics worked out. Now, the website again, where it's going to be, this Luzerne Foundation website, what's the address for that?
It's the Luzerne Foundation website. It's going to be linked to the Discover NEPA website, which is really just a sprawling website with a lot of information when we're not in crisis about good things that are happening in northeastern PA. It'll be linked to our UnitedWayHazleton.org website. All of that hasn't happened at the moment because we just finalized some of this at 11 o'clock this morning.
Unbelievable. It sounds like we need to get you back as this develops, Pat.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to tell you, really, that's only part of it, because there's another task force in the southern Luzerne County that our United Way is honored to be part of. It's being spearheaded by my good friend and colleague, Mary Malone, who's the president of our Chamber of Commerce. We have the United Way of the Chamber, again, the CanDo organization, the City of Hazleton, Borough of West Hazleton, Freeland, every municipality in southern Luzerne County, and the Hazleton Area School District is tied into it, along with a number of other organizations. We have the Hazleton Integration Project with us. The Dominican House of Hazleton is involved because in the greater Hazleton area, too, we have to communicate almost everything we're doing in this crisis in English and in Spanish.
Right. Otherwise, you're missing a good part of your audience. Yeah.
And by the way, off the top of my head, and I don't remember things as well as I used to, I'd be remiss to say that we are working hand in hand on this task force, and a lot is coming out of the Lehigh Valley Health System, and in Hazleton, that is the primary hospital, Lehigh Valley Health Network Hazleton, and they are doing yeoman's work in organizing all these efforts. They're on the front line right now. I think at last check we had two confirmed cases of COVID in the city.
Wow. Pat, as this develops and gets really up and running, as it's like you said, it was finalized at 11 o'clock this morning. It's only 3:43 in the afternoon, and you're breaking it here on WILK. But as it develops and it's up and running, please get in touch with me. We'll put you back on to say that it's ready to go and where people can go to apply and everything. But this is a monumental effort done in a very short amount of time, and it's wonderful to see all the different parts of the community working together.
And Pat, thanks for sharing all that information with us. We're grateful.
Can I share one more piece?
Absolutely. What else you got?
Working with the State Department of Labor, United Way's in routine occurrences when people lose jobs. That's when a manufacturing facility might close, layoffs, those kind of things. We work with a program that is called Rapid Response, where there is a team of people from the State Department of Labor and we will go out into a workplace where there are layoffs and show people how to update their resumes, show people what unemployment and other insurance benefits might be available to them. Sometimes if a facility in a normal circumstance is closed because it's owned by a foreign interest, there are certain other programs that employees are then eligible for, retraining and things like that. It's called Rapid Response, and we work and we're looking to maybe try to create a rapid response that would be done on a virtual basis to help any displaced employees that we have out there.
Thanks a lot, Pat.
I haven't even mentioned food banks and things like that.
Well, we only have a three-hour show, and I know you got lots of help here, Pat. But this has been great information, and we'll have you back. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
And you know what, guys? It's been an honor to be with you. I'm sure your audience might not realize we've all been friends for 150 years. It's been a great
right. It's a Jurassic Park sequel.
That's there's that old broadcasters never die, and I won't finish the set.
Okay, so, thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
On behalf of United Way, thank you.
Once again, a reminder, if you would like to get in contact with any of the United Ways, it's easy. Just dial 211. Now, don't go away. When we come back, Intercom's Jason Barsky caught up with the State Attorney General, Josh Shapiro, about price gouging. And then we'll hear from the Pennsylvania Insurance Commissioner when Special Edition continues. Welcome back to Special Edition. The State Attorney General's office continues to investigate cases of price gouging, and so far, just over 2,800 complaints have been received statewide, some of those in our area. Pennsylvania State Attorney General Josh Shapiro joins Intercom's Jason Barsky with some suggestions on what you can do if you suspect price gouging.
Attorney General from the state here, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, you're on the Jason Barsky Show. Thank you for taking the time to call in. Thank you. Good morning, sir.
Of course. Good to be on with you. Thank you.
Yeah, we were just talking a lot about price gouging on the air, and I kept saying just patience. We're going to have the Attorney General on, and if there's someone who knows what he's talking about, it's you. So please, don't let me down here. Don't let me down.
Price gouging is a crazy, serious thing. We cannot have people taking advantage of Pennsylvanians during these challenging times. And I think we all got to come together. We got to field our better angels. And unfortunately, we're seeing merchants and wholesalers and distributors across the Commonwealth, both bricks and mortar and online, taking advantage of Pennsylvania consumers. And I simply won't stand for it. Once the governor issued his declaration, that gave us additional legal authority to pursue and shut down price gougers. And, you know, we asked the public to help us in this, and they've been terrific. We set up a special email hotline
It's pricegouging@attorneygeneral.gov. And in just the last few days, we've received 757 total complaints. Wow. And look, they're not all price gouging, but what we do in the Office of Attorney General is we follow up on each and every one of those emails. And we contact the businesses where we suspect price gouging. And in some cases, we've even had to send cease and desist letters to get them to cut it out.
What are some of the more egregious examples you've seen?
Look, we have a pharmacy in Pennsylvania right now, actually in Montgomery County, where they're trying to sell a couple dollar masks for $25. We've issued a cease and desist letter to them. We've seen inflated pricing on everything from toilet paper to hand sanitizer to other cleaning products. And so we just want folks to contact us right away if they see something. pricegouging@attorneygeneral.gov. And the easiest thing you can do to help us is include the name of the store, its location, and the specific product and price. If you prefer to just snap a photo and send us that with a brief narrative, that's cool too. And here's what I don't want. I don't want Pennsylvanians, you know, getting tripped up on the legalese of price gouging. Folks have a pretty good sense of what things should cost. And if it seems really inflated, send it to us, and then we'll determine whether it meets the legal definition of price gouging. I also want to say to businesses out there, if you feel like you're being victimized by price gouging from a wholesaler or distributor, you should let us know that as well, and we can follow up and shut that down.
Now, we know price gouging laws, and you'd be going after businesses who say, like my wife said, I guess a friend of hers went to buy a six-pack of bottled water, and it was either $12 or $20 up from, like, $4, and they reported it. They called the police. In this case, now they know to email pricegouging@attorneygeneral.gov, and I'll put a link on our website so everyone can just click on that. We know that that's an issue. Online sales, if we see, I know Amazon and eBay and companies like that, they're stopping people from doing this. Someone called in earlier and said, what about the person, just a regular guy down the street who happens to have a bunch of hand sanitizer and wants to sell it for $50 a bottle? Do you go after those people, or is that just their business?
No, that's not acceptable either, and we're going to hold them accountable. And, you know, to operate as a merchant, you have to meet certain standards here in the Commonwealth, and we're going to make sure that that kind of conduct doesn't occur. And, you know, you mentioned Amazon and some of the big online marketplaces. We have been in communication with them. We are working with them to try and make sure that nothing on their marketplaces, you know, that people aren't using their platforms to take advantage of Pennsylvanians. I do want to just say a word about what price gouging is as folks think about this. I mean, look, just because you're paying more for certain goods, you know, today as opposed to yesterday, doesn't mean that it's price gouging. You know, prices can increase for legitimate reasons. The real issue here, and again, I don't want folks to get too bogged down on this, but I want them to understand the standards that we apply. The law in Pennsylvania says that, you know, if a consumer good exceeds 20% of the average price of those goods sold over the last 7 days, and it's an unconscionably excessive price, that's price gouging. Now, again, I don't expect folks to go back and do the math as to what that bottle of water cost, you know, 5 days ago, 4 days ago, 3 days ago. But I think folks, you know, if they use their noggins here, they're going to recognize what seems a little higher, which is okay given these challenging times, versus what is really unconscionable and excessive. And we'll do the work if you empower us with the information. And I've got a whole team working on this right now. Even though many of us are not able to work in our offices, we're working remotely. We had a plan in place be able to deal with these kinds of things remotely, and we're doing just that.
Talking to Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro about price gouging here on the Jason Barsky Show. Are there specific categories that price gouging laws affect? For example, I was at the store the other day, and I was personally surprised to see chips, potato chips, 2 for $7. I couldn't believe that. It felt like, I'm like, oh my God, when I was a kid, it was cheaper. Now, obviously, that's just inflation. But, you know, if say they wanted to sell chips for $50 a bag, I mean, that's price gouging. Is that one you'd go after, or is it more necessary supplies in this crisis?
No, take your example. If they're selling, you know, potato chips for $50 a bag and taking advantage of people's desire for potato chips while they're hunkered down here, that's price gouging as well.
Okay, all right.
You know, we tend to focus on the things that matter most to people right now to keep them healthy, like the disinfecting sprays and hand sanitizers, things like that. But we're not going to tolerate it, no matter what the goods are.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was just for necessities. And when you start talking 20%, we just had it right before you called in, a listener was concerned. She said she went to a store, and she said that paper towels last week were $5, the same roll as $10 this week. Now, is that something that would you have to look at the where they were selling it over the past few days? Yeah. If it goes back to the calculation, this could be okay?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to do, you know, and something like that, if the consumer wants to let us know, we want to hear from them. The more information we have to protect consumers, the better. But on something like that, we're going to go, we're going to look at the supply chain, we're going to look at the costs, and we're going to try and determine, you know, whether or not it's price gouging. And, you know, in a number of these cases, just by simply getting the information from the consumers and then contacting the merchants, we've been able to help them readjust their prices and protect consumers going forward.
Is this something where you go after them and find them, or you give them a chance to right the wrong?
Well, look, I try and get them to right the wrong right away, because what we don't need are long, drawn-out battles in court right now. What we need is consumers to be able to get the products that they need for a reasonable price, not an unconscionably excessive price. But if that doesn't work, then we have the ability under Pennsylvania law to go and issue fines. And, you know, just to get into the specifics, it's, you know, up to $10,000 per violation of price gouging. Again, I'm not interested in being punitive here unless it's required, unless the merchant really won't correct its behavior. And we've seen that in some examples. What I really want to do is correct the behavior and make sure that consumers aren't being taken advantage of during this challenging time.
There are a lot of conspiracy theorists out there, a lot of people who are scared, in my opinion, over nothing. But somebody says, this is total tyranny. All right, let me finish this. This is total tyranny. Where does it go from here? The government, we don't need the government inspecting your pantry. You're not going in taking people who have big supplies of things. It's just when they go to resell them, if they want to go out there and take advantage of others. This is about taking advantage of others, not preparing.
Yeah, right. If people want to prepare and they need extra paper towels or Clorox wipes, great. God bless you. You should do that. And look, I think as the governor has indicated, this, you know, this is not going to be quick. This is going to go on for some time, and we want people to be prepared. And, you know, my wife and I worked hard to prepare our family so that our children have what they need. That's very different than a merchant, you know, selling, as we saw in Philadelphia last night. Someone tweeted me about this. You know, a package of toilet paper for $50, right? Those two things are very different. And so we are working to make sure that price gougers are held accountable, but not to, you know, harm families who are looking to prepare for what is likely to be a long haul here.
And these extra, what is the word I'm looking for? Your ability to do this is allowed because of the state of emergency, correct?
Yeah, we have laws in this Commonwealth that upon disaster declaration issued by the governor, there are different, there's different authority that he has, there's different authority that I have as the Attorney General. And so, you know, look, for those who are saying this is tyranny, this is government, take a look, these are the laws of the Commonwealth. These are laws passed by your state representatives and your senators, signed by your governors over time, and they are designed to try to protect people. They're designed to try to help people get through a crisis. Typically, these are crises that are, you know, big fires or floods or hurricanes, and they're in very limited areas. This is unlike anything we've seen before, and obviously in recent memory, where it's not just impacting the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but indeed the country.
Yeah, and this is not your office going around being the price police during normal times without a crisis, just going, you're charging too much for blank. This is because it's a crisis situation.
Of course. And in fact, the authority that's vested in me to police this comes from the governor's disaster declaration, which is enshrined in the laws of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Listen, I appreciate you taking the time. You know, thanks for looking out for the people and going after these folks. I like to believe in my heart that the people who price gouge at first just think this is a great business opportunity without fully thinking through what they're doing and how it would affect people. They just think, great, we can make so much money. And then someone goes, hey, idiot. I'm sorry, I'll use that word. Hey, please don't do that. Please don't do that. That's wrong for a number of reasons. And I like to think they all step back and go, I never thought of it that way. And they're just uninformed or ill-informed. And
right.
I hope that's the case. I just hate seeing people, you know, take advantage of others. And again, if you see something that you consider to be price gouging, again, include in this email the name of the store, where it's at, locations. Do the people have to put their personal information in there as well so you can reach them, or no?
Not if they don't want. If they'd like to, that's fine. But if we have the information we need, name of the store, location, product and price, that's enough for us to get moving on this. And we really don't need people's personal information. You can also hit us up on Twitter or Facebook, PA Attorney Jen, or my personal Facebook or Twitter, Josh Shapiro, PA. However it comes in, we're going to get on it.
Okay.
And, it's just email makes it easiest for us to be able to
centralize the whole thing,
to keep this centralized and work. And look, I also agree with what you said. I think, you know, people in Pennsylvania are good. The folks I meet, whether it's up in Dnieper or all across this Commonwealth, as I do my travels, they're really good, decent, honorable people by and large. And obviously we have some bad actors, and that's where my office comes in to hold them accountable. But in this case, I think, you know, we recognize we're all in this together. And I just want to encourage people. I know it sounds silly, but the social distancing matters. Washing your hands matters. Coughing into your elbow matters. And really taking the governor's directive and advice here of trying to lay low, trying to stay in your home, avoid these big spaces, it's really going to be important if we're going to flatten this curve and limit the number of people who get this, limit the run on hospitals, limit the exposure, particularly for older Pennsylvanians. We all got to do our best thing is to try to work from home. I realize that's not possible for everybody, but
right.
to do as much as you can from home and to be very careful.
Yeah. Again, Attorney General Josh Shapiro, if you see any evidence of price gouging, you can hit him up on Twitter or Facebook or just email pricegouging@attorneygeneral.gov. Again, Josh Shapiro, the Attorney General, thank you for taking the time to share this information, and hopefully we'll talk in the future over some about some better things out there.
I know, I'd love to come on and talk about happy things, but my job doesn't typically lend itself to
happy things, but
maybe we'll talk sports if they ever come back, and that'll make me happy.
Maybe you'll bust someone smuggling adorable puppies into the country, and through Pennsylvania, we'll have to find homes for them all, and that would be, I mean, who knows? Yeah, I guess with your job, it's mostly negative. Wow, that's depressing, but that's all right. You know, I'm happy you made yourself available. It's good information.
Absolutely. It's what I'm here for, and my best to all your listeners. And hey, thank you for putting the word out. It really helps us be able to combat price gouging and those who take advantage of others. So appreciate you very much.
And it was just this past week that State Attorney General Josh Shapiro joined other attorney generals nationwide to urge online sellers like Amazon and eBay to more closely monitor their sellers. Now, if you would like more information, or if you would like to file a concern, you can visit the AG COVID-19 at attorneygeneral.gov for more information. Don't go away. The state's insurance commissioner joins us next on Special Edition. Welcome back to Special Edition. Health insurance, it can be a concern on a good day. But what about during the COVID-19 crisis? Pennsylvania Insurance Commissioner Jessica Altman joins Intercom's Frank Andrews and Mark Davis to give us some good tips on what we can do and look for when it comes to our health insurance.
Very honored to have on the line with us from Harrisburg, the Commissioner of the Pennsylvania Insurance Department, Jessica Altman. Jessica, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me to talk about this. It's so important at this time.
It's a tough issue. And, you know, I'm asking, what do people do if they lose their health insurance?
Yeah, so the message that I really want to make sure that Pennsylvanians are aware of is that you have options. You know, we know, unfortunately, at this time that we are going to see Pennsylvanians either losing employment or having pauses in employment. And unfortunately, a loss in employment can mean a loss in health insurance coverage. And when our health and our well-being is as front of mind as it is right now, it is so important that people stay covered if they can stay covered. And to that, you know, my message is there are options for Pennsylvanians. There are three in particular that we should talk about: COBRA, the health insurance marketplace, and then our state-run programs, medical assistance, and CHIP.
Okay, so COBRA, we know, is a federal program, but you still wind up paying like 110% of the original premium. Under the Obama administration, they offered subsidies. Are you aware of anything like that that's coming down the road?
I'm aware that that's being discussed at the federal level, that some are calling for that, but we haven't seen. Of course, we're all watching very closely to see, you know, what Congress will do in the coming days. But I haven't seen anything come through to subsidize COBRA. But to your point, COBRA allows you to maintain the employer coverage you have had up to a period of 18 months, but your employer will no longer be subsidizing your insurance. So you'll be paying the full cost of the premium, and that can unfortunately be quite expensive. But one thing also to watch is your deductible does carry over. So if you've already used some expenses in the year, and that's, you know, a large amount of money, you would be able to continue with your deductible where you were even before you lost that employment.
And you also mentioned the Affordable Care Act. How does that work, and how would people get involved?
Sure. So we have the health insurance marketplace that was brought into effect by the Affordable Care Act. And this market is meant to serve individuals and their families who need to buy insurance for themselves. In many ways, a situation like this is why we have the marketplace. It's there for you when you don't have an option of health insurance coverage from any other source. There, you know, normally you can only enroll in the marketplace a certain time of the year, starting in the fall. But there are something called special enrollment periods that allow you, if certain things change in your life, to enroll at any time throughout the year. And one of those things, and the most important for what many Pennsylvanians may be experiencing during this time, is that if you lose comprehensive health insurance coverage from another source, so if you lose the comprehensive health insurance coverage that your employer was offering you, you are eligible for a special enrollment period to go on the marketplace and get coverage. You have 60 days to do that. And I would just note that 80% of Pennsylvanians currently on the marketplace are receiving financial assistance to help pay for the cost of their health insurance. All of those individuals get help paying for their monthly premium, and a large number also get help with those out-of-pocket costs like copays and deductibles, and that all depends on your income.
And given the situation workers find themselves in, if they lose their insurance, they can't afford COBRA, the marketplace is probably a much better option, correct?
It very well could be, and we would always encourage consumers to do that comparison before deciding whether or not to decline or accept COBRA. But it can be, in some cases, a more affordable option. But you want to compare what the monthly premium is. You want to take that deductible into account. You want to take, you know, the generosity of the benefits. There are different choices on the marketplace. Compare that to what you had. So lots of things to consider. There is help out there. We have unbiased free help in the name of Navigators and Assisters, who help folks enroll in the exchange and other programs like medical assistance and CHIP, which we'll get to. So if you need help in your local area, of course available by phone right now, visit our website at insurance.pa.gov and you can find help with those to do that.
And the key thing to watch out for, I'm sure, is their health coverage plans, and then prescription plans may be included, or you may have to look at a prescription plan separately, correct?
That's for Medicare. On the marketplace, it's all included. Dental and vision may be separate, but your prescription drug benefit is a part of the plan itself. Okay. You don't have to buy anything separate.
All right. CHIP program. That is an excellent program. Takes care of our kids, and there might be people who will be eligible for that if they have young people, right?
That's right. And actually, in Pennsylvania, for our CHIP program, the way that it works, any child in Pennsylvania can have CHIP if they want CHIP. The question is based on your income, whether or not you'll see subsidies for that coverage. So if you have children that don't have health insurance coverage, absolutely look at CHIP. CHIP, as well as medical assistance. Medical assistance serves adults at certain income levels, but also special categories like those with disabilities. Both of those programs will enroll you at any time throughout the year. And if you don't have income coming in, you should absolutely check whether you are eligible for medical assistance, whether your children are eligible for medical assistance, or chip. One other good thing here is, you know, if you go on the marketplace, which many people know is healthcare.gov, and that's exactly where you should go, healthcare.gov, you can enroll online by yourself if you want to do it that way. If they think you're eligible for medical assistance or chip, they'll refer you to medical assistance or CHIP. If you go to medical assistance or CHIP and they think you're eligible for the marketplace, they'll get you over there too. So either way you go, they're going to help you get to the right place, which will depend on your level of income at this time and projected for the rest of the year.
Now, are you also hearing that what's happening in Washington might also be some money to help in this whole crisis?
Yeah, so we're very closely watching Washington. There, you know, one population we haven't talked about are those that already don't have insurance, you know, or people who chose not to seek comprehensive medical insurance, but instead chose another type of insurance, like a short-term plan or an indemnity plan, as something that's cheaper but not nearly as comprehensive. And that's something actually that I've spent a lot of time before COVID-19 educating people on and warning people about to make sure they understand the limitations of those coverage. You have to lose other comprehensive coverage you had in order to currently qualify for an SEP. And that's why last week Governor Wolf sent the federal government a letter asking them to open a blanket special enrollment period so that any Pennsylvanian or really anyone who's enrolled in a state that uses the federal exchange can get coverage, comprehensive coverage, if they want it and they need it. So, you know, we haven't gotten an answer to that yet, but if you are in one of those categories, it's something to know that the governor, Senator Casey, and other members of our congressional delegation have made that request of the federal government, and will certainly be working to keep Pennsylvanians posted as we see an answer to that. We did also see Families First Act, which was the first piece of legislation, or rather the second piece of legislation Congress passed in response to COVID-19. So not the one they're working on now, the one they did previously and got across the finish line. There was $100 billion in that package of funding to pay for care for the uninsured. There was also a requirement that insurers cover COVID-19 testing, waiving all cost sharing. That was something our insurers had actually already been doing, already agreed to do across the board, but now that's for sure in law. So those are a couple of steps we've already seen from Congress, but we're watching very closely to see what might come next related to coverage.
And could you one more time tell people where they would go to get information, where they would go to enroll, where they would go to get help?
Sure. So there's a bunch of resources out there. If you want to enroll in the marketplace, go to healthcare.gov. If you're looking for general information about insurance or coverage, or you want to find that local help, you can also visit our website, insurance.pa.gov. I would also say the insurance department, we are here to help. If you're looking for insurance, or if you have a question about insurance, if you got a bill you don't think you shouldn't have gotten, and this goes for any type of insurance, not just health, we are here for you. I have a wonderful team of consumer services staff who will advocate on your behalf, look to find solutions, and they can be reached at any time on that same website, insurance.pa.gov, or by phone at 877-881-6388.
Commissioner Altman, this has been a wealth of information. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Sure. Thank you both.
Pennsylvania Insurance Commissioner Jessica Altman with some good advice. And if you would like to find out more, you can visit insurance.pa.gov. That's the website for the Pennsylvania Insurance Commissioner. And before we wrap up Special Edition this week, just a quick reminder. Now that we're hearing about stimulus checks being processed, scammers are going to be out looking for you. They're going to try all different ways to get your information, thinking that you are going to have to do that in order to get one of the checks. Just a reminder, if it's someone you don't know, don't give out the information.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories, a production of Intercom Communications.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.